So my name is Patsy Vizenz and I'm representing the Australian Garden History Society, and we are interviewing Edith Young today on 22nd of October 2025 in a home in Mount Hawthorn. So thank you, Edith, because you're actually an Albany girl, so we just coincided.
We did, didn't we?
I'm really pleased. So let's start, and so can you just say your name and where you were born and where you grew up to start with?
Okay, yeah. My name's Edith Young. I was born in Fremantle, and I grew up in Kirrup, and we family transferred to Perth when I was 12.
So you were raised at Kirrup in the southwest?
Yes, yeah, south of Donnybrook there.
Wonderful town.
It was. Sort of. It's struggling a bit now. It's not as it was, but it was quite a high, thriving little town when we were there. We had the general store.
Is that why you were there?
Yes. Yeah.
Had your parents been there before you were born?
No, I was born in Fremantle. The store was my father's uncle, and he took it over. My parents took it over. And so we were there, 11 and a half years. Mm.
Does that building still exist?
Yes, yeah, it's still there, with the little house attached. Yeah. Last I saw it, I only drove through, but at one stage it was a cafe, then a vegetable shop, and then something else, and now it's vacant apparently.
As they do.
Yeah. Mm.
And how long were you in Kirrup?
11 years.
Yeah. So primary school?
Primary school, yeah. when we came to Perth, we came to Subiaco actually. And I went to two terms at Subi Primary. And then I was, for high school, I was at Perth Modern. That was the first year it became co-ed. Before that, it had been a scholarship school, I think is what they called it.
Mm. Now, is that my understanding? That's a musical.
It is
focus.
Apparently now. It wasn't then.
It wasn't.
But it is now, apparently. It's a well regarded musical school.
Very interesting school.
Mm.
Did you know when you were going through school what you wanted to do when you were in high school?
No. I always wanted to be a teacher, a school teacher. But then when I hit high school, it wasn't going to work. So then I didn't know what I was going to do. I just left school after junior.
Mm. So you're 15? Mm.
15, 16. Yeah. 15, yeah.
When you're back in Kirrup, did you have connection with gardening?
No, my mother gardened. She did a lot of annuals and bulbs and it was tank water and so I always appreciate gardening then, but I did appreciate the flowers.
And you did have contact with the bush.
Yes, that's right, yeah. We had a nature trail at school, I can still remember that. I was very taken with that. And it was string. And she laid it out, the teacher laid it out. You walked through the bush, it followed the string, and it stopped or wound around a plant or a little stake or something. And you had to go around and name everything. And
Oh, that's a good method.
So I loved that one. But also too, we had orchards around the Kirrup, and we had a mill. So it was all forestry and orchards, and you know, we'd go out visit farms, and I would especially. Yeah. And So growing things was sort of all around, but I can only look back and say that it didn't affect me. It didn't register then.
So you didn't have your own garden?
Just the one that Mum did, yeah. It wasn't worthwhile us growing vegetables because, you know, everybody brought vegetables in, or, you know, we could get them just around the place, really.
Not possibly a gardening background in Kirrup.
No,
but not really. So no, after you left... After you left Mod High School,
yep.
Modern School,
mm-hmm.
What did you do?
I went back to tech to get my leaving, Leadable Tech down here. And then after that, then I got employed with Elder Smith. Elder Smith?
Oh, Elder Smith.
Elders.
Yeah.
Yeah, in town. The Embassy Ballroom was on top of us. We were down, the offices were underneath the Embassy Ballroom, down on the corner there. That's it. And then I was there for, I don't know how long, 18 months, 2 years. And then I and a girlfriend of mine drove across Australia on a working holiday in a V-dub. And so I suppose we were away for about 18 months then as well. And then when I came back, I got a job with Tip Top Bakeries in Subiaco. And then I left to go overseas. I was away for 3 years overseas. I lived in London and Canada and came back, got a job in a photographic studio. I decided that I was going to be a photographer.
Where's the gardening?
Now, I'm just getting to the gardening thing. So one day in the photographic studio... The spring had just sprung and there were butterflies outside the window where I was sitting in the thing, and I said, I'm going to go and do gardening just from those butterflies. So so I went to UWA and Jean Vershua was the curator, as they called them then, there. No, she wouldn't employ any woman ever again.
In the garden?
Yes, in garden. She was responsible for the gardens down there, and she wouldn't employ any women. She had a bad experience with one woman, and she wasn't going to employ any woman again. So that was that. So then I went out to Curtin.
Was it Waite or Curtin?
I was just wondering. Might have just been Waite, only for a little while. And then it was Curtin.
What did you
and
do?
And so
then?
I got the grounds. I was in the grounds. So
did that mean you had a supervisor? There. You had a
who had the curator, Vern Andrews, and to his credit, he said, "No, you know, I'll employ women." He said, "They're the up and coming thing, you know, staff that we want." He wasn't a gardener at all. At the time, it was jobs for mates. There. So, but anyway, he took me on. And I said that I'd study at night school, horticulture. And that had just started. I was in the second year when horticulture started here at Leadable Tech.
Leadable Tech?
No, not Leadable. Mount Lawley.
So that was a two-year course?
Three. So I did that, at night school while I worked during the day in the gardening section out at Curtin.
What was good about that course? Why did you choose that course?
That's all there was.
What about Bentley?
No, that Bentley came later. That's all there was.
Okay.
And that was the first, that was the first horticulture thing. I forget what his name is. Oliver. His first name, he and It was two of them set it up. That's all there was for horticulture at all. Yeah. And as I say, it started the year before I went, so I was the second year classes.
So what was their specialty or what?
It wasn't. We did all streams in the 3 years. Yeah. We did the nursery work, we did amenity, we did sporting fields. We did it all in that 3 years. There was no streaming then. Okay. So you didn't have to decide if you wanted to do any one of those particularly. But I don't know that there were the jobs there then for those particular courses, for sporting field maintenance, for nursery work. Probably was, but it wasn't specific.
And your fellow students, were they employed as groundsfolk with council?
Yeah, usually, mainly.
So you would learn how to use a lawnmower?
I learned that on the job, actually.
I was going to say...
That was more on the job, that. Yeah.
This is part of an apprenticeship.
It wasn't formalised as an apprenticeship.
Right.
It was a certificate for in horticulture, I think it was.
Was there anything that you were inspired by at that stage? You came in contact with through the teaching, through that.
No, probably not. It's just what I was doing.
Yeah.
There wasn't any sort of forethought. This is the job. This is what I'm doing. I'm studying for it. I can't even remember thinking that, when I get the certificate, I'll go and do something else. It just what I did.
Yeah. I'm trying to get a picture of what was happening in Perth at that time.
Mm.
And so somebody employed as a landscape designer who would be employed to do that particular public garden or something, was that ever a thing?
Have them on staff except Curtin Waite had landscape section, had a department in the architecture department. And they did some of the landscape plans, but Marion Blackhall was brought in to do some. And
she brought into Curtin?
Yeah, she was contracted in to do designs for around some of the buildings in Curtin.
She did Murdoch too.
Did she?
Yeah.
I didn't really do very well at landscaping. I admit now I'm not a landscape designer at all. Yeah. But we had to do it. It was part of the course and we did it. I don't think I got very high marks, really. I was, looking back now, I was more into organic and, permaculture and stuff like that, which from my reading. Bill Mollison in Tasmania, which wasn't what they wanted in landscape plans in those days.
So the direction was really somebody would get in some plants and then...
Oh, yeah, and we'd order plants.
And borders.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you ever been back to see them? They might have changed.
I didn't leave there on a good note. And I didn't go back for years and years and years. I went back a couple of years ago, 5 years ago or so. Yeah. And, they've done well.
Some of the trees would be really quite big.
I was walking through and I was saying, I planted those.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So, as I said, I left there under a cloud. And then I went to Shire of Swan in the park section, grounds park section, and I was there 7 years. And my boss there was Stephen Few, Steve Atwell. He used to be at Canning. He left when he retired. He was at Canning in the end. So he was there, and then I went to Town of Victoria Park in the technical services section. So I was admin officer there, but I wasn't involved in grounds particularly. And I was only admin officer was my title at Shire of Swan as well, but that was just for parks.
So your background has been in developing gardens, but not of your design, and they're public. Did you develop your own style, your own feeling for your own gardens where you were living at that stage? Would be like bringing work home, I suppose.
Could have been. As I say, I'm not a landscape designer by any means, and I was living at Shelley mainly at the time. I did my garden there, all with natives, and it was just left to go wild, sort of, you know, wild gardening kind of thing. But that's just what I wanted. It wasn't called that then even. I had a endemic, an original Melaleuca, a Presea, I think it was. There's some controversy whether it was Presea or something else. And so I just planted out sedges underneath it because I thought that's what it would have had originally. Mm-hmm. Where it was, because it was all filled in swamp, swampy area adjacent to the river, the Canning River. So I did that for the tree, you know, not thinking that it was a landscape feature or anything. I just did that for the tree because I had a hard time during the building process and that. So, and then at the back, I just planted natives and.
Well, that would have been an unusual garden.
Yes.
There was a lot of blockage towards natives.
Yeah. I don't think the neighbours appreciated it.
Yeah, especially in public spaces. Yeah. That's why Marion's gardens in Murdoch University
are so... They were very well regarded, yeah.
They are.
They're still there. I haven't been to Murdoch for years and years and years.
The benches.
Oh, yeah.
Fantastic. Mm. All the shame for UWA for not employing you because there's...
But I was the only woman on staff at Curtin there for a long time. And I got through to being four person before I left, yeah.
Oh, very good. Did you have any favourite areas?
I was just talking about the Japanese garden we had there to the woman here who owns this house. They're in Japan and came up about Japanese gardens. And I was saying the one out of Curtin. They brought over a landscape fellow from Japan to design it. And I looked after it. So I suppose that could have been a favourite because it was different.
Yeah.
And it required, in some cases, I had to look up how to prune a particular plant. or how to treat a particular plant. So that was interesting from that point of view. But generally it was just... it was mainly playing fields that was the big thing out there. Still is, I think.
So Curtin is alongside the old Bentley Tech,
Tate. Of course, yeah.
And I know that John either established or developed those.
Yes, he was involved in that.
Yes, he was involved. Mm-hmm. How did you get involved with the Australian Garden History Society?
I've been trying to think of that and I can't remember specifically.
So it wasn't through John?
No, it wasn't through John. No. And I can only think I went to an open garden or something that they might have been doing. Or I went to an open garden and there was information there or something. I was a member of the Herb Society before that. And I think one just sort of led, you know, word of mouth, but the information was there for you to pick up. And I think I might have picked up and heard about it and just phoned somebody up and joined, went along to the meeting. And
Because the branch started in 1988, so it was the original the national established in 1980.
Yeah. Well, 1988, I left Curtin in 1989. So.
Wow. Okay. Good. Yeah. And there must have been something that sparked you to become involved.
Yeah.
When you became involved as a member, did you attend meetings or was it just the... Can you remember whether it was just the outings or...?
I think initially it was just the outings and I used to take a friend with me to some of those. But sometimes there was a meeting before the outing at the same venue or whatever. They'd have the meeting first and then... or after the outing or something, and I might have stayed. Oh, yes, I do know. I went to a meeting and I nominated Linda to be secretary. She was sitting beside me.
Linda Green?
Yes. And she said she would do it, but she was reluctant to be nominated. And so then after her stint,
she nominated you?
No, she didn't. I volunteered because I'd nominated Linda and I thought, well, if you're going to nominate somebody, you should step up yourself, sort of. And I always felt a bit guilty about nominating her because, as I said, she was very reluctant.
She was a landscape...
She's a landscape designer. Yes. Yeah. So that's how I got on the committee, really.
And once you're on the committee, you're actually exposed to all aspects of what that is.
Mm, that's right. Yeah.
So you joined in as secretary. So the correspondence.
Yes, so I had to liaise with Jackie. I had to liaise with her often.
So that would have been in the mid-80s. Oh, sorry.
Mid-90s.
And were you involved with the... WA conference of 95.
Yes. Yeah. On St George's Terrace there, Adelaide Terrace, wasn't it? Down there. Was it? Because that's where I stayed for the conference. It was off Adelaide Terrace there. Because I stayed at the hotel in Adelaide Terrace there. In close proximity to where
That was the first conference. The very first conference that WA organised, and it was in minutes of them forming.
Mm.
So, well, that was Scarp to See.
That was it, yes. Right. That's right, yes.
Mm. Who was the chair for that? Was that John Deska? So what was your role?
Whatever came up.
Job.
Yeah. Could you do this or, you know, you'd volunteer for something or whatever.
And did you stay the second one, which was in 2005?
Yeah, that's the one where we went to York, I think, wasn't it? Did they go as the one of the trips? If that was the second one, yes, I did. When was that,
2005. 2005.
Yeah, I was still there then, so I would have...
Were you involved in a particular... By that time, you were pretty well...
I've been to a few meetings.
Been there for a while.
I had, yeah, yeah.
Mm. So did you put your hand up for a specific responsibility?
No.
Okay, no. So general.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Did you ever take on the role of NMC rep? Did you ever get to go over east?
No.
Once you get into a thing like the garden history, did you find that there was frustrations or that we could be doing this or that? Did you have a thought before you start or when you started?
Mm, yeah. I don't know whether I was hoping or whether I thought that Garden History Society would have some clout in saving gardens.
So advocacy and standing up to save.
Yeah, to say, like, there's a good historical garden and it's going to be all bulldozed or, you know, that we would have had some way of stopping that or preserving the garden, let the building go ahead, but to make arrangements to retain the garden. I did think that that was might have been what they... the society did, but it didn't.
So there is a movement, especially as we've moved into the 21st century.
That's
and,
right,
and
yeah.
Heritage and conservation has become...
Yes, it's got a bit more leverage now.
There are always historic gardens. When you are organising... there's always somewhere really interesting to go.
Still there is, yeah.
It exposes many, many people
that's
to
right.
that.
Yeah.
And I think that's pretty good.
I do too.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, so when... it was pretty exhausting, I would imagine, the 2005 conference.
Yeah.
The next one was 2014, which you didn't. You'd gone by then. You'd left.
I'd left, and even though it was in Albany, I think I was away on overseas when it was on.
Did you? Can I ask why you left? You retired from AGHS.
I just. Reason. I was moving down to Albany, and so I didn't. And there was a bit of that reason in there. You know, it was good and it was lovely to see the gardens and appreciate and the enthusiasm and all that. I wouldn't have been able to get to meetings and I wouldn't have been able to come up for trips or visits or anything.
That's very frustrating.
So I didn't keep up my membership, no. Mm.
Are you involved with anything similar in Albany? Are there garden groups down there, do you know?
No, I don't know. There's gardening clubs, but that's not me.
No.
We have an open gardens where they open and all the proceeds go to the hospice. So I go around to some of that. I go to that, there's no, you know, nothing sort of. I became a volunteer at the herbarium down there, and for being a volunteer, you had to be a member of the not Australian Plant Society, Wildflower Society.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I thought that. They might be able have sway in controversial bush clearing, you know, habitat and all that. And I did put it to somebody and they said, oh, yes, we do, but we have to do it with scientific information, you know, knowledge. But they didn't do much, really. They couldn't do much, I don't think, really. They're only a small group as well. And then there was a bit of a kerfuffle there one time, and I thought, oh no, I don't need that. So I didn't go back to there either. So I think I was in it for a couple of years.
Steve Hopper.
He's down there.
He's down there, and I would have thought he's would be active in that sort of conservation.
Conservation, yes. And he has a lot to do with the Aboriginal
corporation down there.
Yeah, he does. And but not he's not involved with the West Australian Wildflower Society or anything, as far as I know.
I'm not sure what they do, what the Wildflower Society...
Well, they run the herbarium down there. So they've got... they're in the Parks and Wildlife and Attractions or whatever it's called.
Oh, DBCA.
Yes. They've got a building there, and so they've got the herbarium, and they do... They do good work. They do projects and, you know, a scientific study, and there's and they've got where all the specimens came from. They're all one lady was doing them all on a map of Albany, where the specimens and the herbarium came from, and mapping them, and they go out once a month on a walk, as they call it.
Excellent. Have you had enough warm weather down there? There's been a lot of rain this winter.
Yeah, there is, but there was a good display. It was a good display. It was late, and I think they just made it with their exhibition, just got in time. The week before, probably, they wouldn't have got the specimens, some of the specimens that they had, so I think they were lucky there.
Okay.
But they do a good job on that. We haven't got a conservation-minded council or any groups, really, that I know of that are for conservation or greening or anything like that. That disappoints me.
I'm surprised.
No, really? Yeah, Denmark's got it, but Albany's not got it. And we just had council elections, and I saw who's been elected, and same. And there was a wonderful group there. They're trying to save a place called Yakamaya Forest, and they're all just grassroots people. And they've been on this for about 18 months or more, and they're still fighting. And they put up some people for election and the thing, and they didn't get in. So that was I was really disappointed. But I would love it if Albany became a conservation masterpiece.
In ways that Garden History can assist, because we're working on a lot of advocacy, if we know of particular areas of concern, we can actually start to do research and galvanise and approach on a national level as well.
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm just... Communication lines need to be open, I think, to be able to know those things.
Cause yes, yeah. I haven't given that a thought, actually.
Just bear that in
mind. I will.
Okay.
Weather-wise and all that, I'm really pleased that I moved to Albany, and I should have done it before when my parents were alive. I wish I'd done it sooner. Definitely.
Yes.
I'm glad there's a Garden History Society.
Yes.
I'm very, very glad that there is. And I've been to the Garden History Museum in London and all that, and visited some gardens over there, but only the biggies, you know, that everybody goes to. But I'm really glad there's one here. But I don't really want to be a member of anything now. No. So now I'm in with Free the Bears. We're a volunteer group down there.
Uh-huh.
It raises money for the bear sanctuaries that we've got in Laos, Vietnam and Cambodia. And they rescue the sun bears from the bile farms. And it was started by a woman here in Perth when she went to one of those countries. She was appalled at the bile farms. And and she came back and she set about trying to do something about it. So our patron is Rove McManus. Not that that has any...
Excellent.
..for me, but yeah, he's into it. And our little group down there, we raised... We look as if we're about to probably $20,000-$25,000 this year. We have a massive garage sale and a market day, and next year we're having a high tea and
well, it takes things like individuals, that. Doesn't it?
Mm.
Thank you very much for your time.